I would like to discuss with you a few short ideas relating to some halachos and minhagim that relate to Tisha B'Av. Okay, there's only a few short ideas, some ha'aros, some ideas. Most of what I'm telling you comes from the Sefer Simchas HaMo'adim. I've used the Sefer a number of times here. Very interesting collection of halachos that relate to the Mo'adim. And he likes to quote the minhagim of all the various gedolei Yisrael, what they did with these halachos. The first thing I want to point out is we have a minhag on Tisha B'Av to sit on the floor. Now, I didn't see anyone. He goes through the sources. This is a custom, nothing more than a minhag. And in fact, anyone that has difficulty sitting on the floor with goes without saying is exempt. It comes, by the way, where does it come from? It's something that we should be familiar with. It comes from a pasuk in Iyov. Okay, we learned this in the very beginning of Iyov. It says that Iyov's friends vayeshu itoy laoretz. Loretz, this friend sat with him, Itoi Loretz, on the earth. Eov was sitting on the earth because Eov had boils. Okay, he had boils and he had to come in contact with the earth in order to alleviate the boils. His friends were healthy, but it says that the friends, they commiserated with him on the Aretz. So here we learn this is the makar, that during a time of tsar, of mourning, a person should sit on the ground or towards the ground. Now we know a minhag of an oval is to sit on a low chair, to sit on the ground. It is very interesting that on Tisha B'Av it does not say anywhere that you're supposed to sit on the ground the entire day. And we know that after Chatzos we sit on a regular chair. The fact that we only do something for half a day itself shows that it's not a halacha. It's not an absolute requirement because there's no such thing in halacha as half. In halacha, it's either all or nothing. If something is only half a day, that means it's nothing more than a custom. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not so chomer.
Maybe the last day of Avelis mixes the end.
That's mixed, because that's really considered the whole day. Mixed and Kula, it's the whole day. But when it comes to, you have to fast the whole day. Okay, you have to fast the whole day. I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah says, Mikol Makom Einoi Chomer Kol Kach. Okay, there's something to be aware of. Sitting down on the ground is not so chomer. Kamo Haheinuyim, like eating and drinking and oil and smearing your body with oil and rechitza, so on and so forth. L'chein le'boi kol yom, you only do the entire day. Now, one point I want to make, which I did not see anyone dwell on, is that it only says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to sit on the ground in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, I never saw anyone. We all have a custom that at home we sit on the ground. Right? If you're waiting for Tisha B'Av to begin, you're at home, you finish your Susma of Sekes, and you're waiting, it's already past sunset, and it's past Tzitzchavim, and you're waiting, when you come back, or you go to a shir, that's not in Shul. So the custom is everyone's sitting on the ground. But in Shulchan Aruch, I just want to point this out to you, Lel Tisha B'Av, V'yoymer Yoshrim Bebeis HaKnesses La'aretz. It says you only sit in the Beis HaKnesses on the ground. Doesn't say that when you go home you have to sit on the ground. Right. Now it goes without saying everyone's driving around Lel Tisha B'Av. Everyone know, never saw someone. Right? Don't worry. I guarantee you. In 10, 20 years, Google, or there'll be cars that drive by themselves. Right? It's going to happen. They already have it. The technology. It'll drive by itself. So then there'll be shyless. Should I sit in the back? I'll take out the back seat. I can sit on the floor in the car. Right? Fast forward 10 years. These will be the shyless. But it's really interesting. It only says the base like this. So certainly anyone that's not comfortable. Now, how low do you have to sit? So something very shocking. He quotes here the name of the Chazon Ish. We are all familiar. You have to sit on the earth, as it says in the Pasuk in Iyov, La'aretz, on the earth. What about a chair? That is less. What about, let's say, you want to sit on a chair? So we are brainwashed with the idea that love it. Anything that's less than three tefachim is considered part of the. In fact, Rav Shlomo Yashiv says this: three tefachim. On the other hand, so what is three tefachim? So different opinions of Chaim Noah, and you have the Chazon Ish. You have all different shim of what exactly is three tefachim. However, what is very interesting is that he quotes the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says there's no inyan to sit mamish on the floor. The inyan is just to sit a little bit lower on a chair that's lower than usual. So according to the Chazon Ish, you don't have to make measurements. I've seen very often people come in the Tisha B'Av with beach chairs and all these strange things, and they have a measuring rod, they're measuring through tzvachim, they can send the windowsill. This. The Chazon Ish says, I'll read you what it says here. I was shocked to read this. Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Sholem al Yashiv, Kishi Yashav Shiva al Ad. Okay, he was makbid that they should cut the chair less than three tefachim. Okay, according to the share of Chaim Noah, he held that of Chaim Noah is the ikah shear. Aval, Omar li Maran, Hagoin Rabbi Chaim Kinievsky. He told me, the mechaber of this sefer, Shemaran hachazoinish loy hikbid sheyehe dafka pochus mishloisha. No hakpod of the chair should be less than three tefachim from the ground. Elo hoikor hu sheyehe yoiser namuch misafsel rogil. It should be a little bit lower than a regular chair. Incredible leniency, and this comes from the chazoinish. Okay, the father of all chumras. The father of all chumras says that you don't have to have a chair, you have to sit on the ground, and you can sit on a chair, and the chair doesn't have to be three tefachim below, within three tefachim, as long as it's lower than a regular chair. So the next time you see the person in the Mekinah sitting in the beach chair, and the beach chair is not exactly three tefachim off the ground, it's okay. It's lower than a regular chair. Many poskim are very unhappy with this, coming in with beach chairs and comfortable chairs. Listen, on one hand, you have this, you go to kinnis, it's a good 3-4 hour kinnis, you can go for a long kinnis, it's not so easy to sit on the ground. Okay, there's another question. Some hold that you're not allowed to sit mamish on the ground. That's another issue, because the ground is cursed. Right? Arur hadama ba'avurech. Just like you're not allowed to walk barefoot. Arur hadama ba'avurech. So there's some hold that you should never sit directly on the floor. Or you should sit on a mapa. At least spread out a towel. Not because it's clean, cleanliness. Not of cleanliness. Just stop. There's such an inyan that you don't sit on the floor. A Jew does not sit on the floor. You least he mafsik. He quotes that opinion. He says it's I guess if it's carpeting, it's part of the floor. It would not be okay because it's part of the floor. There's another thing of bowing down. You're talking about the idea on Yom Kippur to bow down. You're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. So anyway, most shuls are not stone floors. Even the ceramic is not stone. It's not a stone floor. So there's a custom that even if it's not stone, in order not to differentiate between stone and not stone, so you put down a towel. So a carpet is already called a hefsek. But when it comes to sitting on the floor, there is such an idea. He quotes his opinion. He said that it's a very weak opinion, and it's a very big chumrah, and there's no hakpad on. If you come to shul, there's nothing wrong, he says, with sitting directly on the floor. Okay, next question. Again, this we come at, it's a very lenient halach. It's based on pasuk in Eiyof, la'aretz. However, chazonish, you don't have to mamish on the ground, and there's even a question sitting directly on the ground, and you don't have to, there's a question of how low you have to go. The question of what point, when does the zman begin? So it's essentially, he quotes a big one. It's only a short period of time. There's a machlekes ha'poskim of when you have to begin sitting on the ground. Does it start from sunset, or maybe it only starts from laila, vaday laila? It's an extreme chumrah to sit on the ground. So many people are eating the sudah mafsekes, and they're finished, and now it's sunset, and ba'ariv doesn't start for another 45 minutes, another hour. And in the meantime, you want to read something, you want to do something. Are you already mechuyif to sit on the ground from the time it's sunset, or maybe you can be lenient, you can wait and you can sit on the chair, until it is laila, until it's evening, until 30 minutes after sunset, 50 minutes after sunset. So he presents machlokes ha'poskim. Some say that this chumrah begins mamish with shkia, I think of Moshe's machner, with shkia, with sunset. And others say, no, you can be lenient. It's enough to be machmir to start when it's vaday laila. You don't have to be machmir to sit on a chair after the sun sets until it's vaday laila. Again, no one points out this chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch that it's only in the Beis HaKnesses and not at home. But the minhag is to be machmir at home as well. Now, by the way, one thing I want to point out is that for the Sudas Mafsekes, that's a separate issue. There's another issue. There's another thing in the Shulchan Aruch that when a person before the last meal he eats before Tisha B'Av, you are supposed to sit on the floor. That has nothing to do with Tishrei. That has to do with the Sudas Mafsekes. The Sudas Mafsekes, you eat an egg, one tafshil, one cooked item, with a piece of bread, and the custom is, so it says you sort of sit on the floor, and you're not supposed to sit b'mezum, not supposed to sit together with two. But then you should, then you're mechuyif, then you should sit. The sudas hamafsekes is not related to Tisha B'Av. The sudas hamafsekes, you can have the sudas hamafsekes at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to eat this egg and this piece of bread and some water, and I'm going to wash and eat. You sit on the floor, and after you finish, you can sit down on a chair until it gets dark, until night. There's an inyan of sitting on the floor for the suda hamafsekes, but that sitting on the floor has nothing to do with sitting on the floor on the day of Tisha B'Av itself. Okay, so let's go to another issue.
This would be the last thing you eat, right?
Yeah, first you eat a regular meal. You first have a regular meal.
You can't eat afterwards.
No, you can't eat afterwards. The suda hamafsekes is the last thing that you eat. The last thing, you first have a regular meal, then you have some afsekas. So most people have some afsekas right 5 minutes before sunset. And so you know that you can maximize minimize the effect of the tinnitus. Okay, let's go to another inyan. Talmud Torah. On Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn Torah. Why not? What's the main reason? Shulchan Aruch, it says one reason. B'kudi Hashem Yishar Misamchei Lev. It brings simcha. Bringing simcha is forbidden. It's forbidden to have simcha on Tisha. We have to remember the avelus of, we have to mourn for the Pechud Beis HaMikdash. The Mishneh Berurah brings down another reason, a totally different reason, nothing with simcha. Not everyone has simcha when they learn Torah. Unfortunately, you know, it takes a lot of time to get into the mode where you have simcha. There's an entirely different reason. Hesach Hadas. If a person is going to be learning a sugya, learning a daf gemara, you're gonna forget about that what today is all about. Today is a day that you're supposed to think about Tisha B'Av. I once heard someone, a darshan, speak that's the difference between Tisha B'Av today and Tisha B'Av 30 years ago. 30 years ago, there was no such thing as a Chavetz Chaim video. You have in the newspaper, the Faber Journal. It's a day. It's a Yom Iyun. You have at least a choice of at least 10 programs available, lectures and videos, the Inspire video, Chavetz Chaim video, and then you go to Holocaust Museum, and you can go. You can go to five different programs, whether it's a Hakel program or to the Rabbi Mandel's Tisha B'Av program. There's no limit what you can do. And then they go online. Aha! Go online, so you can go listen to Rabbi Weinreb, to Rabbi Weil, and you can listen to J.J. Schachter and Rabbi Gottlieb, and that's just for starters. Years ago wasn't like that. Years ago there was nothing. There was nothing. I remember as a camper in Mogen Avram, you were bored out of your minds. Okay, they put on some show for you in the morning. They had a little kinnis. Each of the counselors explained one of the kinnis. Kids can't sit that long, so the time was 12 o'clock, davening was already over, and now what do you do from 12 o'clock until 8:30, 9 o'clock? You go out of your mind. Why do you go out of your mind? And today, you don't have to go out of your mind. Today, either you go to sleep, or you go watch a video, or you go to a program. This plan, this program A and this program B. If you have leanings to the right, so you go to program A. If you're a little more modern, you go to program B. Right? They'll custom, they'll accommodate every shape and form is accommodated to why in order you should not have time to think. Right, the goal is don't have any moment during the day to think. That is the Churban of Tisha B'Av today. This, at least according to this dash, it used to be a good thing. Now I don't say it's bad. Obviously, it's very good to go to the programs. Some people they love it. They look forward to it the whole year. I'm not joking. They look forward to the whole year because it's the day of Yom Iyun, a day where you're able to really sit and learn the whole day. But it does take away from what Tisha B'Av is all about. Tisha B'Av is a day to just think. What you're supposed to be bored. You're supposed to think, what is today all about? I have nothing to do today. I can't eat, I can't drink, I can't go to work. What is it all about? You're supposed to get agitated. If you'll get agitated, it will make an impression upon you, and the rest of the year, maybe you'll behave a little bit differently. So that's really what the Mishneh Berurah says. The reason why you don't learn in Tisha B'Av is nothing to do with Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesamchei Lev. It's because Hesach Hadas. If you're going to be learning, you're not going to be thinking about what this day is all about. What is the heter to learn? The big nafkamina. If the nafkamina is, are you allowed to learn other inyanim dvam haroyim? Are you allowed to learn inyanei Tisha B'Av? So the answer is yes, you are allowed on Yom Tisha. Are you allowed? Now here's the very big issue: are you allowed to learn in Yonim Horohim the Iyun? You can learn Eicha and you can learn Iyoiv and you can learn Hilchas Tisha B'Av, but are you allowed to delve deep, deep down into the sugya? So this is a machlokes apoiskim. Some say yes, some say not. Going to lectures to a certain degree is learning bi'iyun, because they're very stimulating. They're definitely very stimulating. That's the question. See, that's the question. You know, it's very unfortunate. I've been to some of these programs. It's very, very unfortunate. They start out very, very good, and then everyone has a breaking point, and then it just turns into jokes. Another joke, another joke, another joke, and they'll first apologize. It's Tisha B'Av, so I really shouldn't say this, I really shouldn't make a joke on Tisha B'Av. So they apologize once, they apologize a second time, and then comes the third, fourth, fifth joke, there's no apology, and everyone is just laughing, 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 and turns into a day of entertainment. That is clearly not what the spirit of Tisha B'Av is about.
Sounds like the
what? It doesn't say what?
That you're not allowed to laugh.
It doesn't say that, okay. Okay, so this is an issue. Now here's another interesting issue he brings up. He discussed at great length. This is a very, very big topic. Is there an inyan of Bittul Torah on Tisha B'Av? We know that during the entire year, Vishinantam Levanecha, there are numerous psukim which tell us the person has to involve, learn Torah continuously. A person, a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, is never feels comfortable. You're not allowed to waste one moment. If you have a free moment, we always feel guilty. We should be learning. If we're not working, if we're not making money, we're not spending time, quality time with the family, then what should we be doing? We should be learning. And if we're not learning, we have a guilt complex. Should a person have a guilt complex if he does not learn on Tisha B'Av? Is there an inyan of Bittul Torah? Does a person have an obligation? This is that we have a kind of halacha, that you're allowed to learn Devarim Horoyim, things which are unpleasant, to learn the sugis and the gemara that deal with the Chorban, to learn Hilchas Tisha, to learn Iyav, to learn Eicha. Is this a heter? I have nothing to do today. I'm bored. Oh, this also, I have a solution. This is something that you can do. But if you don't want to do it, there is no obligation to do it. There is no violation of Bittul Torah on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day where there is no learning. If you want to sit home and look at the ceiling, that is 100% fine. You should not have a guilt complex. There's no inyan of Bittul Torah on Tisha B'Av. Or maybe no. You should feel guilty. You should be productive. You should be learning Eicha. You should be learning the sugyas and the Gemara that deal with Chorban Tisha B'Av. This question is debated by the Gedolei Yisrael. And each one takes different sides. They try to bring a ritva. Everyone is busy with a ritva. In I forgot where the ritva is. The ritva Moed Katan. The ritva in Moed Katan and Daf Tezvav. He talks about learning Torah and he says some things which are very questionable. And everyone wants to make a diak. The ritva said this, that implies on Tisha B'Av there's no learning of Torah at all. Some say it only means for this, not for that. Okay, but this is just something I want to bring to your attention. A machlekes sapoy. Based upon a ritva, if there is a person of a guilt complex not learning Torah on Tisha B'Av. Now, what about learning Tisha B'Av? When are you allowed to resume learning? The first time I saw this, I was shocked. I walked into shul after mincha. I was waiting for Maariv and Mitzvah Tisha B'Av, and it was about a half an hour to go until Maariv. They were davening Maariv pretty early. This was not from a shul where they wait for Rabbeinu Tam Mitzvah Tisha B'Av. They were going to daven Maariv probably 40 minutes, 35 minutes after sunset, and it was probably 30 minutes to go. I come in there, and they're giving a shir daf yomi. I said, how are you talking? You're learning Daf Yomi on Tisha B'Av? How are you talking such a thing? The rabbi here, Paskin, after Shkia, you're allowed to learn. There's such a thing that the Isser Talmud Torah only goes until Shkia. Until you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat until it says Hakachavim. But during the twilight zone, the twilight period of Ben Ashmashos from Shki until it says Hakachavim, already then there are those, not everyone, this is not definitely, this is a minority opinion, but there are definitely people that are makel to learn Torah already at that point in time. In fact, you should know there are places that hold that a person who's loh, the person that loves to learn, it's part of his life. You can be makel, you can learn whatever you want on Tisha B'Av. Not everyone is so makbid, not that I Mishnah Berurah writes. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if it was up to him, he would be mevatel this minhag not to learn Tisha B'Av because he sees what people do on Tisha B'Av. They're busy playing board games. And they're busy involved in things, Dvar Betalim. And if he had koyach, he had guts, he would mevatel this custom. Okay, so this is just something to be aware of. And let's tell you a quick, before we go to the next topic, I'll tell you something about Zman. When is the Zman? When is Tisha B'Av over? Tisha B'Av is over, according to all, you should not wait until Rabbeinu time. No one should wait until 72 minutes. You don't have to wait more than 45 minutes. 41 minutes, 45 minutes. That's the most a person should wait in order to break the fast. Tisha B'Av is not as chomer as Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, some will wait 72 minutes, but not on Tisha B'Av. So he brings down here a story. This is a very funny story. I couldn't stop laughing when I read this. Maran HaGoyin of Chaim Oizer, Raw Pa. Shemaran hagoyin b'chon vassimin misakiv mitzoytzem vehevin she ze biglal chumra b'zman shel mitzoy hatzem. The story was Chaim Oizer observed Rav Chon Wasserman, the famous Rav Chon Wasserman, who died al kiddush Hashem. Hashem yakum damai. He, Rav Chaim Oizer, saw that if the Tisha B'Av was over, and Rav Chon Wasserman was not eating. I guess Rav Chaim Oizer already ate. He already ate dinner. And Rav Chon was dilly-dall, he didn't eat. So he said to Rav Chon Wasserman, why aren't you eating? So I know why you're not eating, because it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you don't have a clock, if you don't have a watch, and you don't know exactly when the time is over, it says that you should wait until at Sheyetze Sofek Milibo. You should wait until the doubt has left your heart. So since you don't really know what the different zmanim, there's a zman, an earlier zman, a later zman, or a benu tam, you feel compelled to wait until at sheyetze sofek melibo. You want to wait to fulfill what it says in Shulchan Aruch, to wait until the sofek, the doubt, leaves your heart. But Abu Hanan, if you continue in this to wait, I'm afraid your lave will leave me suffolk. At sheyetze suffolk me liboy. The like cost of at sheyetze liboy me suffolk. You're gonna faint. You're gonna starve. You're gonna faint. I thought that was cute. All right. Let's go to another quick topic. The topic of not wearing what?
So he joked on Tisha B'Av.
He made it was after Tisha B'Av. It was after. At Sheyetze Libay Misav. It's Gvaldik. Okay. Next quick topic. Wearing tefillin. Our custom is we do not wear tefillin until Mincha. This is big machlokes ha'poskim. Many poskim disagree. They hold that you wear till Magen Shacharis. It's well known the Chassam Sofer. Chassam was the God of Hadar. He wore tefillin during Shacharis. Okay, many Hasidim wear tefillin there, because this is quite a man of shach. Either you wear tefillin or you don't wear tefillin at all. The reason why we don't wear tefillin simply is because it's like the first day of Avelus, Aninus. And the first day of Aninus, the person is not allowed to wear tefillin. Tisha B'Av corresponds to the first day of Aninus, and that's why we don't wear tefillin. If that's the case, one should not wear tefillin the entire day. And indeed, there were many Rishonim, we have records, that held the halacha not to wear tefillin the entire day of Tisha B'Av. We don't do that. And then there are many Paiskim that say no such thing. Tisha B'Av is an Avelus Yeshana. It's not Aninus. It's an old Avelus. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's not fresh. And there are things that we do. We fast at Tzom. On at Tzom, you wear Tefillin. What's this business not to wear Tefillin? You wear Tefillin right away. First thing in the morning, put on Tefillin. Okay? So what we do today is really a quintessential minhag. Now the reason why I say a quintessential minhag is, I once kind of safer that has a fascinating chapter on Minhage Yisrael. And the thesis in this chapter was many, not all, we are a result of an attempt where people want to make a compromise between different opinions in halacha. The classic example he gives is a mezuzah. A mezuzah, it is a minhag Yisrael to put the mezuzah on an angle. Where does that come from? An angle? Why would you want? Why would you want to do? Why would you want to put a mezuzah on an angle? Put the mezuzah straight, or put the mezuzah across? What's the angle? The answer is machlekes rishonim. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, how to stand up a mezuzah. Rashi says it should be straight, and Rabbeinu Tam says it should be horizontal. The same machlekes you should know applies to a sefer Torah in the Heichal.
Right.
Sefer Torah, according to one opinion, you put the sefer Torah standing up. Another opinion that you should put shelves in the Aron HaKodesh. There should be shelves. You should put the sefer Torah lying flat. No one puts the sefer Torah on an angle. No, you never saw an Aron where they put the sefer Torah on. They put the sefer Torah standing up. That's how you put a sefer Torah. So why is the mezuzah? So the mechaber of this sefer says, because that's what a minhag is. A minhag is many, many cases where you want to make a compromise between rishonim. One rishon says do it like this, one says like this, you're caught in the middle, what do you want to do? So you do it in a strange way, which to some degree captures the opinion of both. Pshara. So here we have this custom of wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av, mincha time, half a day. Not Shacharis, but in the afternoon. This idea of wearing tefillin in the afternoon is the quintessential result of a minhag. Because we find ourselves caught between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, they have a long list of rishonim that say absolutely put on tefillin. There's nothing to talk about. And then we have a list of rishonim that say, how could you wear tefillin? It's avelus. It's a churbeis hamigdash. We're oininim. There's no tefillin the whole day. Putting on tefillin in the middle of the day is a compromise between these rishonim, and therefore that's why it is exactly what a minhag, what it captures the essence of a minhag. Now there is a very big issue: how could you say Kriya Shema in the morning? One of the reasons the Chapaiskim are of the opinion you should wear tefillin is because you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema and not wear tefillin. Call Omer Kriya Shema b'lo tefillin kilu meid edus sheker ba'atzma, as if you're testifying falsely. You're saying in Kriya Shema, "Okshartem la'osa yedech v'yitul senech." You're not wearing tefillin. It's edus sheker. So the answer to that's not an issue, because as long as you plan later in the day, it's a very important insight. It's not called edus sheker if at the moment you're not fulfilling what it says in what you say, but you have plans that later this day you will fulfill your words. That takes away the problem of being made Eidah Sheker Bishrol. Another drush, while we don't wear tefillin is a microcosm, it's a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Tefillin is called a bias. The Beis HaMikdash is a bias. Tefillin, the singular of tefillin is tefillah. What was the Beis HaMikdash? Ki Beisi, a bias, ki Beis tefillah l'chol ha'amin. The tefillah shel yad, the tefillah shel rosh. What's inside the tefillin? The Shem Hashem. V'rochu kol amei ha'aretz ki Shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yoru b'meka. On Tisha B'Av, the Mikdash was destroyed. The Beis tefillah l'chol ha'amim was destroyed. So how can you wear a miniature Beis HaMikdash upon your head when the big Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed? So that's the drush of why it's not proper to wear tefillin on Tisha. There's a very big issue. You bring what? No, it doesn't bring that over here. There's another issue is, let's say a person is a chayla and he has to eat. Doctor's orders. You must eat. He has here a discussion. Are you allowed to eat before you put on tefillin? Okay, doctor says you must. Okay, I'm going to eat. What am I going to eat? I have to eat breakfast. The doctor says you must eat by 10 o'clock in the morning. You must eat breakfast. In shul, they don't put on tefillin until 2 o'clock. Are you mechuyif to put on tefillin at 9:30 before you eat? So he says, not so simple. It's machlekes ha'poskim. Certainly if you're eating a bread meal, if you're going to wash and eat bread, according to many opinions, it's not the right thing to do. You would be mechuyif first to put on tefillin 9:30 in the morning, to put on tefillin, and then you eat. So someone that situation has to be aware that you have to wear tefillin because once a person eats, there's a concern he'll fall asleep. Eating a meal causes sleep, cause you fall asleep, but then you'll wake up, you'll forget to put on tefillin, and even appointing a shomer is not so simple. Tefillin is a serious matter, has to be done first thing in the morning. If you're fasting, you're not going to forget because you're fasting. But if you're not fasting, it might be an issue to put on tefillin. On a regular tinus?
It's hard to put on.
Some do it. Some put on by Yom Kippur Katan. I've seen that. I've seen a Yom Kippur Katan, Mincha. And they fast, they put on tefillin for Yom Kippur Katan.
I've seen it by
In Brisk, I think in Brisk, Eretz Yisrael, he wears, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, he wears Rambam tefillin for Mincha. Every day Mincha, he puts on Rambam tefillin. I don't know. You go into Eretz Yisrael, you'll find all these strange things. I've seen in shul people wear put on tassel for mincha. They stand in the back. I don't know. It's strange, right? No one does this today. When on a tinus? A regular day.
Every day.
Weird. Bizarre. So you're asking a very good question. He's asking, if you're not allowed to learn Torah, how then are we allowed in the morning to make Birchas HaTorah? Everyone agrees, there's no one that disagrees that we say Birchas HaTorah in the morning. There's a question, do you say Shasli Kol Tzarki? Do you make the Bracha Oiter Yishol B'Sefara? Do you say Maver Shena? But no one says not to say Birchas HaTorah, but you're not allowed to learn. So one answer is that you are allowed to learn, you just have to learn Be'in, like Kriya Shema. When you recite Kriya Shema, that is a Geder of Talmud Torah. When you the various Psukim in Davening is a Geder of Talmud Torah. Others say, this is a very Chesh, he brings down this opinion in Echanami, all the things that you say during davening do not count for Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is off limits in Torah Tishvav. When you recite Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Ho'amim, you're just thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving the Torah. You're not necessarily learning, even though you're going to recite Yivarechacha and you're going to say the Mishnah. Some Taka don't say those. Some hold Tishrei you're not supposed to say those things. But you can still even laning. It's not that you're not laning together Talmud Torah. You're laning together Seder and Seder. I don't know the answer. The Yom, it's not together Talmud Torah. But your bracha is a very big chiddush. What it says here, it says that when you're making the bracha Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos V'Sod La'Asot B'Divrei Sora, you're making the bracha not together to learn Torah. Well, it doesn't really work for that bracha. I don't know what he means. But the bracha, at least Hashem, Bochar Bonim Mikol Ho'anim, you're thanking Hashem for selecting us as the Am HaNivcha. The bracha Asher Bochar Banu on Tisha B'Av takes on a new meaning, a new emphasis. The whole year round, we associate the Birchas HaTorah with, let's be practical. After you say Birchas HaTorah, you have to sit down and open up a Daf Gemara and learn. You got to learn something. You got to be practical. But besides being practical to learn Torah, look at the words of the bracha. The bracha will carry other concepts. Hashem has selected Klal Yisrael as the Am HaNivchar. On Tisha B'Av, that is the primary emphasis. The Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'amim, you have selected us. The way you selected us, you also gave us the Torah. But that's not the ikar emphasis, because on Tisha B'Av, you can't learn Torah. So we focus on the Bechir, which opens up a whole interesting idea to
When you get an aliyah, you say Baruch Dayanu
Emerson. What?
Before you make the bracha.
Really?
It's inside. Inside.
Baruch Dayanu Emes? I never heard this. Okay, I don't know. Okay, one of the last issue. When you put on tefillin at mincha, many people have the custom to recite all four parashios of tefillin when they are wearing the tefillin. Anyway, say the two parashios of Kriya Shema, and then you'll say Kadesh V'Hayo Ki Yiviyacha. Mincha. When you put on tefillin mincha, you have not said Kriya Shema when you're wearing the tefillin. It's a nice thing to say the parashah of the tefillin. So there are different opinions. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should not. The Mishnah Berurah says you put on your tefillin and you certainly don't say Kriya Shema. You don't say the parashahs of Kaddish v'chaya ki yiviyacha. Many poskim achilik on the Mishnah Berurah, and they say that when you're saying the psukim, it's not begin the Talmud Torah. It's begin reading what it says in your tefillin. and there's no harm done if you were to read all four parshios of tefillin at mincha when you put on the tefillin. What about wearing a Rabbeinu Tam? Do you wear a Rabbeinu Tam on Tisha B'Av? Chiluk Yedeos, some say yes, some say not. Okay, with that we will conclude.